Hello, and welcome to Syngenta Growing Golf, the podcast about tomorrow's golf industry today. My name is Gary Firkins, and I'm your host. Today, I'm speaking to Miranda Robinson, Operations Manager of the British Columbia Golf Course Superintendents Association. Miranda speaks about how walking behind a mower for the first time made her fall in love with the golf course environment. Despite loving working outdoors, Miranda reveals the pressures of being a superintendent and the toll on the emotional well-being. She also shares her vision for encouraging more women to join the turf industry. We'd love to hear your thoughts, so please do join the conversation at syngentagolf.com or via Twitter and LinkedIn. Enjoy the programme. Miranda Robinson, welcome to Syngenta Growing Golf. Miranda, tell me a little bit about your early life growing up. Where was it and what was family life like?
I grew up in a small town in Ontario, Canada, and I had two older brothers and I enjoyed keeping up with them as best I could. And my father would come home from work with buckets of golf balls from a friend of his whose house backed onto a golf course and tend to found quite a few of them in his yard. And my brother and I would go out into the backfield and take chances and see who could hit as far as we could and try to hit the tree line. And it was awesome to be goofing off and just enjoying it. And unfortunately, we did have to go and shag our own golf balls, though, but it was part of the game and we had a great time.
What were you like at school?
I definitely was athletic in school. I played on every sports team that we had and enjoyed all of the different sports. And I was a very outgoing student that enjoyed public speaking, and I enjoyed all the arts. That was one of my favorite things.
But no experience of golf. Golf wasn't in the family, apart from just bringing, you know, hitting golf balls from the backyard. You know, there were no chances or opportunities to go to golf courses at this time.
Not particularly, aside from one trip we went to when we were in grade eight. We had a class trip to a golf course. And as someone who loves the outdoors, I did find myself having a great time out on a golf course, but it didn't really draw me into the profession yet.
So how did that happen? How did you join the ranks of turf professionals? How did you get your first job as an assistant superintendent?
I was working at a factory during college in between, and it was very high paying, very good job when it came to money, but I was inside and I was miserable. I did not love it. And a couple of girls that I knew that were in police foundations got a job as a summer job just for fun on a golf course and said, hey, come with us. Let's go see what it's like. And from there, I absolutely fell in love with golf. I could not believe people got paid to go out there and just work out and enjoy themselves.
So what were you doing in that first job? What tasks were you given?
The very first task was learning how to walk mow, and that sells anybody into this industry. I think that's, if you talk to superintendents, one of the main things that they love the absolute most was just going out and walk mowing in the morning. And we went out and did typical morning chores as well. We would go and rake bunkers and do tee maintenance, and it was just enjoyable to go out with the girls and be in a team environment.
So that's interesting. It was a female team at that time. You were working with alongside other young women. And so what was the ambience like between you? What was the kind of vibe like?
Oh, it was fantastic. We would go out and have so much fun. They would usually send us out together. There was actually, of the 20 staff at my first club, there were 6 females. So I really had no idea that there was such a limited amount of women involved in the industry at that point.
So that was your first job then. So tell us about that. Where was that? What venue was that? What club was that?
I was at Oliver's Nest Golf and Country Club. It was a, like a, you know, average budget bent grass golf course in a small town, and it was fantastic.
But you fell in love with the whole profession, the whole idea of being a superintendent at this time.
I did. I had no idea how awesome it would be to just get up every morning, see every sunrise, and just be out in an environment that's so green and so inviting.
So where did your career go next? Where did it take you?
From that golf course, when I was at that golf course, 2 years into the program, the superintendent had moved on and they had hired a consulting superintendent that was there one day a week, and he didn't really have an assistant and saw how keen I was and asked me if I wanted to start learning irrigation and going in the pump house and learning the different things in there. And I then took the Guelph University as a short course in Canada, and it was 1 month of just like a cram session of learning everything you could. And from there, I was there about 6 years, and I went on to be an assistant at another golf club called Watson's Glen. And from there, I moved on to another golf course that I later became the superintendent of.
And what was that transition like? I mean, working presumably with largely male teams to begin with, what was that like?
I think I was kind of at an advantage by having two older brothers, that I wasn't intimidated by that at all. I always had my brother's friends around the house, and they played hockey, and it was a very, very male type area in my house. So I got along really well. I felt like I really fit into that environment, and it didn't feel uncomfortable for me.
And they were inclusive? The guys on the team were very inclusive towards you?
They were. There were a few people of a different generation when I became a manager that, you know, took some time to be able to accept me as a leader and as somebody who, you know, is the person that has to tell them what to do. But for the most part, I had a pretty amazing experience.
And what about golfers themselves, the members of the clubs where you were working?
It's funny, at every golf course that I have worked at, I got nicknamed the smiling superintendent, regardless of them not knowing from the previous club that that was a thing. I really was known for going around the course and making sure I took a point of smiling to them and checking in with them and saying hi on my way around and just becoming part of that atmosphere.
And always well accepted in that regard. Was there ever any misunderstanding about who you were and what you were doing?
There's definitely a lot of instances where someone would call me over and ask me if I had any beverages in my very obviously filled with tools cart to see if I was a cart girl. And, you know, very conveniently, I said, no, but do you have any in yours for me? And I kind of just tried to make a joke of it. I would say to not try to take too many things to heart. It's very easy to be sensitive to other people's perceptions of you. And it's one thing you can't control. You can't really control how somebody thinks. All you can do is control how you can be presented to them. And so becoming negative or doing anything doesn't really give you any advantage. I think that staying positive and then just showing them why you belong there and why you're a leader, it's very difficult being a young leader. And it's hard to try and bridge the gap between a lot of different generations sometimes. And so it's just to step back and really recognize that you have to see how they're looking at the world as well. And it's very valuable.
And what about stepping up to that role of superintendent? How big a deal was that for you?
Stepping up as superintendent was pretty overwhelming at first. And I actually called a girl, Jen Penrith. She's a female superintendent that I really looked up to. And I said to her, oh my gosh, it's really happening. I'm so nervous. And her advice to me is now what I give to young assistants taking over superintendent roles. And it was, you've been doing it the whole time already. You know exactly what you're doing. Now you just don't have to answer someone, and you get to actually try the things that you've always wanted to try and see if they succeed or fail. And this is the time to push yourself and enjoy the ride.
Have you had a mentor in your career?
Absolutely. The very first superintendent that I worked under full time was Ron Biggs, and he was the best mentor I could have ever asked for. I say was, is. He is still absolutely somebody that I look up to and ask advice of. The things that made him incredible were his ability to push me outside of just the typical things. It wasn't just learn grass. He would say, hey, we got a problem in the pump house, and we have a guy here that's in the pump house doing the, you know, repair on it. You go spend the time down there with them. You go learn from him, and then, hey, maybe you'll be able to fix the pump next time. And when I was digging an irrigation breakdown in, you know, 4 feet down in clay, and he said, well, why don't you just use maybe the backhoe instead? And I was like, well, I don't know how. And he's like, well, we can fix that. Go up to the back 40, grab the backhoe, make a hole with it. And when you're done with that, fill it back in until you're comfortable with it. And I talk with a lot of different women in the industry and ask them about their experience with using heavy equipment and using different things on the golf course. And they didn't quite have that experience with somebody that just, you know, openly was like, you need to know all the different things and learning how to set reels. I remember him saying, well, you know, you have to learn how to set the reels because it's very important that you have that skill set, which brings in another mentor of mine who was Richard Heffering, and he was a golf course mechanic or equipment manager as well as a superintendent, but he's just, his mechanical skills are just incredible. So he would spend time with me teaching me how to grind reels, teaching me the importance of all the different aspects of turf maintenance and in the respective equipment managers. And it, having both of them, I call them my turf dads to this day. They're two people that I don't think I would be the same person in this industry without.
One of the things that you've talked about is mental health and the impact on superintendents, but you've also got your own story on that as well, your own experience.
Yes, when I was 20 years old, I lost a good friend of mine to cancer, and I took it really hard, and I ended up finding myself having a panic attack, and it was something that I really didn't understand, and I went to my doctor, and I definitely went through some different medications, and it was very difficult to really get a grasp on what was going on, because it's so strange. It's a strange feeling. And I had a friend reach out to me, and his name is Paul McCormick, and he's known as the Mindful Superintendent up in Canada in Prince Edward Island. And he kind of showed me the value in stepping back and kind of thinking about how the different sensations and stuff were making you feel and what was making that happen. And he introduced me to mindfulness, which was just kind of a buzzword I had heard at the time and wasn't really something I understood. And it was more about introspection and being able to just be with your thoughts. And I found it quite incredible to just sit back and really analyze what was going on, as opposed to being so confused by how it felt. And it really led me down a great path.
Came out of a very personal experience, but it's also evident in the industry that a lot of people in the turf industry are feeling more stress, more anxiety. How prevalent is it, do you think?
I think it's very prevalent, and whether or not people recognize it for what it is or not is another thing, because we're all very driven to be perfect, to do such great things. We're detail oriented. We see all of the little things that most golfers wouldn't even notice. And we stress about a lot of different things, like the irrigation system maybe isn't watering, or the, you know, thunderstorm that's coming through, or not being able to get a spray out. And it's all things that you can't control. And once you recognize it's the things you can't control that are the things that are really setting you off, and just accepting that. And then in the end, you're still going to go in, you're still going to deal with what happened. And it's not something that you need to stress about, because thinking about something that thinking about can't fix doesn't get you anywhere.
Coming back to women in turf and getting perhaps more females involved in the industry, what are your hopes and aspirations for that in your new role?
I would love to go out into the community and start maybe just going through public schools and high schools and just kind of spreading the word. I had no idea this career existed as a young person. I knew golf courses existed, but never really thought much about what went into that. And so once I knew, and all of the women that I know in this industry were all so passionate about it, and it's such an interesting career, and you get to travel and you get to do so many things that most jobs don't give you. So I think I'm going to start going to different high schools, and I would love to go to universities, because there's programs in environmental that are out there that maybe they just don't quite understand the amount of value that comes from a career like this. And that's kind of some steps I would like to take.
And that's important as well, isn't it? Given labor shortages, potentially, you know, that's a challenge that's facing the industry, but also an amazing opportunity to showcase kind of your experience and what the turf industry has to offer.
Women make up 52% of the population. So for us to be 2% of the membership of an association as large as the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, it's kind of glaring that there's a pretty large missed opportunity right now. And I think there's a lot of women out there that are looking to help change that.
We happened to be at the same reception last night, and we happened to have a kind of effectively a mutual connection in a young woman who'd recently joined the turf industry, an amazing background. But she walked into the room and said, how do I network? And isn't it interesting that the things that we take for granted, you know, actually we do need to explain, and you were very kind to take her under your wing and introduce her to some people. Is there more that needs to be done in that regard, do you think, to help people along, people from diverse and different backgrounds?
I think there's such a large amount of outreach just in the equity, inclusion, and diversity areas that golf is very known for being kind of one note with its employees. And I think there's so much room for outreach, and each person has their own background. And I think if everybody from those individual backgrounds were able to reach out to their specific communities and very specific areas of expertise, we could really do some big things.
You've just taken over the association, as I mentioned. Where do you hope to go with it? Where do you hope to be in 5 years' time? What impacts would you like to have made?
I definitely would love to see a lot more assistance. Like I said, I think that would be something phenomenal to really grow that part of the industry. And I'm also working alongside the Canadian Golf Course Superintendents Association. And I think that's, you know, gives me national abilities as well to kind of connect in a grand scheme of things. So I'm really hoping, like, the assistant programs is really where I would like to start, because there are so many of them that if we can start getting them to be the advocates more than just the superintendents, that would be really phenomenal to see them get out into the communities. And not only does it give them experience, but they're the future of our industry, and they're the ones that are going to be raising the new assistant superintendents. And I think there's a pretty good domino effect that could go on from that.
Miranda Robinson, thank you very much indeed for speaking to Syngenta Growing Golf.
Thank you.
Thank you to Miranda. Her thoughts on mental health are reflected in Syngenta's surveys of superintendents. High demand and high expectations are commonplace, and Miranda's perspective around focusing on excellence, not perfection, is likely to ring true with many superintendents. Her vision to encourage more diversity is inspirational. You'll find more industry insights and stories at syngentagolf.com. Thanks for listening.